Book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, and starting from the verse 1.
The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chisleu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace.
Now here we studying a new book. Now Nehemiah means God's favor. Now this man, Nehemiah, really has the God's favor when you read this book. And this man is saying he was in the palace. Can you imagine? This man lives in a palace with the king. And his job is to test the king's food and drinks. In those days, they had the called cupbearer. Actually, that man, what is his job? Nobody should give poison to the king. So before they give to king his cup and a food, he will taste the food and taste the cup. So if he dies, he dies first. It's a dangerous job. But it's a very honorable job. If he doesn't taste the food, king cannot eat the food. So he has a great job and he has a great influence. When you stand before the king all the time, and so the king trusts you, not only that, king honors this person. And so this man, he's saying, I was in the king's palace. And it's the 20th year. Now the 20th years, we don't know what he's talking about, but we know he might be serving there, maybe king's 20th year, and he was in the palace. Chisleu, or there are two different spelling. And so this is the month, a third month of their Jewish calendar. And in our calendar is like November and December. And so the point I'm making, I don't know why he gave the month, but this month, he says somebody comes to him, verse 2. He says, I was in the king's palace. I was minding my business. The happiest man in the world, good money, good place to live, and good food to eat. Can you imagine? You have to eat the king's food. And so this man is a blessed man. And here comes a news, a bad news. Verse 2.
Then Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem.
Now here comes the brother. He says, my brother. Now people will say, oh, maybe he's talking about his relatives or something. But read the Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 2.
Then I gave my brother Hanani, and Hanani, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many.
Now he's saying, this is my brother. Actual brother came to meet him. And he says, this is not an ordinary man. His brother also a God-fearing person. He's a godly man. He comes to see his brother. He might have asked, how is our relatives and this and that. But this man, Nehemiah, is asking, how is our people? The people who left from this Babylon. Now, they are not one time or two times. The time of Cyrus, time of Darius, and time of Artaxerxes, these are all three different groups of people came, and the last time came people with Ezra. And so we know hundreds and thousands of people came. And the last time we learned from book of Ezra that some people came and they got mixed marriages, and he was so heartbroken. And we learned last week, chapter 10, he told these people, you have to give up these ladies and the children. It was a heartbreaking, but the people stood in the rain, listened shivering, and finally they decided to give up all those wives and their children. And so when they did that, God's blessing came, but I believe same time they got more enemies. Just think that you married to somebody's daughter and kick her out from your house, Do you think your father-in-law and mother-in-law and brother-in-law is going to love you? No, they are going to be mad at you. And so it was not a one or two person. They were thousands. You have to read that book of Zechariah chapter 10. Hundreds and thousands of people were having those kinds of wives, but they were giving up. Because I was thinking, Zechariah, Haggai, Zerubbabel, all those people were working and building this temple. Not only that, we learn that king gave them the letter. If anyone tried to harass you or tried to block you or tried to destroy your work, they should be destroyed. I thought they had a fear of king as well as the fear of God. And if you remember, they said, the people said, we don't care. Whoever comes and opposes us, we are going to build the temple anyhow. The temple was built. And so now, I don't know when the walls were broken and the gates were burned and everything. I only know that there was only one wall built. And that's the time they complained, these people are building the wall without your permission. And the king said, no, we don't want anybody doing anything. But then these people say, okay, go and read what the Cyrus said. And then they learn Cyrus gave the permission to do the things. So the point I'm making, I only can think, who are these people destroying these walls? Maybe those people who got their daughters and children, grandchildren back, and they might be angry and they might be doing something like this. And when these people come to Nehemiah, he asked them, what is the situation? And they said, oh, this is a very bad thing happening. Our people are so afflicted and so reproached. They are living in misery. And not only that, the walls are broken down and the gates are burned down and all this disaster happening in our country. At that time, there is no king. All the kings were defeated. Some of them died. And there was no king in that particular time. So when you don't have a king, they had some of the governors. But when you don't have a king, there is no rules. People can do whatever they want to do. And so they were having lots of problems. And so when this news came to Nehemiah, he was very, very sorry. He was very heartbroken. Just think about Nehemiah. The man lives in the king's palace. And he has good food and good place to live. But he's concerned about his people. The people are dying. People having problem. Do you think sometime about your relatives and friends and the people who are so close to you? We are in America. Think about your village or where you came from. Those people are suffering. Some of them do not have jobs. Some of them do not have any good place to live. And some of them have sickness and disease and they are having problems. And somebody gives you news to you. Hey, your brother or your uncle, your father or somebody is having problem. Who cares? That is their problem. I'm living in America in luxury. I have everything. Did Nehemiah say that? No. Nehemiah says, I'm living in palace. I'm eating king's food. But my people are suffering. I'm going to do something about it. First of all, what he does, before he can do anything, he goes to God. Let's read the verse 3.
And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven.
Now, can you imagine this man? He says, as soon as I heard this, I sat down. Maybe he had a big, good chairs and a sofa and beautiful bed. But he says, I sat down on the floor. Some people in America, they don't know how to sit on the floor. Do you know? They have couches and beautiful chairs. They don't sit on the floor. Not only that, sometimes when we pray, we don't come down from the sofas and chairs. We don't even kneel down. We sit in very easy chair. But this man says, I came down on the floor. And he says, I start crying and weeping and praying. Not one day, several days. He doesn't know even how many days he was fasting and praying. Do you pray for some time for your relatives, your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your neighbors, your enemy? Do you do that? If you don't, you start doing it. God only hears the prayer. Once you start praying, what you do, you make a list. List of people you want to pray. And say, Lord, I want this person to give up smoking. I want this person to give his heart to the Lord. I want this person to transform his life. Start praying. You will be surprised. Other day, one pastor was saying, I wanted to pray for certain people. And he said, I wrote names. And just the second name I was writing, the man calls, he wants to come to church. So it works. When you have the people's name in your heart and your mind, pray for them. You will be surprised. God will transform them. God will bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Somebody says, oh, prayer doesn't work. They have their own will. God can change anything. When you start praying, he can change the heart of the king. Now, he's praying for the changing the heart of the king, but he's not saying here. He's thinking, I'm going to pray. I want to pray that God is going to touch the heart of this king and he's going to give me a chance. I'm going to go to my place. No matter what, I'm having a palace and I'm having a good salary. I'm having a good luxury here. But he said, I'm going to go to my people and I'm going to do something about it. Each and every believer should be concerned about your neighbor. You remember last week I said there was a neighbor and the pastor lived next to this neighbor, but he never told him about Jesus. When this man met the D.L. Moody, he talked to him about Jesus. And then he comes back and says to his pastor, hey, pastor, why didn't you tell me about Jesus? You want me to go to hell or something? Why didn't you share the message with me? So the point I'm making, if you have a friend, don't be afraid to telling that person about Jesus. Say, oh, but I will lose that person. That person will not talk to me. Don't worry. As long as God is your friend. You remember today we were singing the song, what? What a friend we have with Jesus. What a friend. We have Jesus is the friend. Don't worry about other people. Go closer to Jesus Christ. He can change the heart of the king or change the heart of any stubborn person. Don't pamper sin. Don't pamper friends. So here he says, I'm going to pray. And he started fasting and praying and crying to God. And I believe once you come to God, the word of God says, God listens to prayer of what? Broken hearted. You have to pray with a broken heart. And God will listen to your prayer. Sometimes when I go and see the person, I don't like to go to hospital to see people. But when you go and see all the tubes and this and that, I almost get fainted looking at blood and this and that. So I don't go. But when I see that, I come home, go to my basement or somewhere, and cry and weep for that person to be healed. And God is listening and God is doing miracles. So the point I'm making, our God is a prayer-answering God. But David says, if God doesn't answer prayer, who will worship him? Our God is a prayer-answering God. The point I'm making, you have to pray for people. Doesn't matter. Sometimes people call you our time. Most of the people say, call me tomorrow. The person calls me midnight, 2:30 a.m. I didn't tell them, hey, call me some other day. I talk to the person. I lead that person to Jesus Christ. The man said, I'm going to die tonight. I'm going to kill myself. What is the answer? I said, Jesus is the answer. And I led him to Christ. The point I'm making, it is our duty to pray for others. There is a one man says, oh Lord, I pray for my wife, for my children, and my dog. Amen. So that's the routine of prayer. Every day the same prayer. We have to pray for the people. You saw somebody in a supermarket. You saw somebody in the somewhere. You remember those people in your prayer. God answers prayer. So this man is starting crying and weeping and praying. And I believe that God is going to do something. It's already happened. But I'm just saying, when you pray, something is going to happen. Verse 5.
And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments.
When you say, I beseech you, what does it mean? I beg you. He said, Lord, I'm begging you. I'm requesting you. You're going to do something. He said, you're not ordinary God. You are a great God, and you are a God of heaven. You are not the earthly God. You are a God of heaven. You are a great God. You are a terrible God, awesome God, a miracle-working God. I cannot describe you, but I know the people are afraid of you. But we are not afraid of God. Why? Because our God is love. We tell everybody, don't be afraid of God. Only you should be afraid of God when you commit sin. He says our God is consuming fire. When you love the Lord, he loves you. He says our God is a good God and he's a merciful God. He loves his people when you obey his commandment. And that's the way God loves people. And somebody says, our God is love. And he loves unconditionally love. That's a wrong word. There is not a single word in the Bible God loves unconditionally. Then somebody says, but then don't you think the word of God says we were sinner? We were a sinner and God loved us? Yes, God sent Jesus Christ to the whole world. But he said if you receive him, you get blessed. If you deny him, you get condemned. So it's not automatically Jesus came and said, whole world, I came here to save you, and that's it. You don't have to do anything. That's called unconditional love, if you don't have to do anything. But you have to receive him. You have to believe him. You don't believe, you don't receive, you don't get blessed. He said, you are the God of love. But when you love God, when you obey his commandment, that's the time he loves you. Let's go and read a couple of verses. Go to the book of Exodus chapter 20, verses 5 and 6.
Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me.
See what he's trying to say? If you hate me, I will punish not you, but your children, children, children. Third or fourth generation. God is jealous God. He is not going to allow you to worship the heathen God and do whatever you want. And he say, okay, I love you. Don't worry, you can go anywhere, but I love you. That's not God. He says, if you hate me, I'll hate you. That's the simplest thing. Now, where did you find the word unconditional love, God's love? There's nothing like that. This is the made-up love. Some people, they want to commit sin, and they want to tell people, whatever you do, God is not going to punish you. God is very loving, unconditional love. That's the devil's teaching. Devil wants to hear you or teach you, whatever you do, our God is love, and he will not do anything wrong to you, and he's a loving God. That's not my God. My God says, if you do not obey me, if you disobey me, I will hate you. I will punish you. Not only you, I'll punish your children, children. That's what the God's saying. Okay, read the verse 6.
and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments.
But if you love the Lord, he will love thousands of generations. You keep on loving God, he will love your children's children, and they will have chances because somebody says, oh, in that family, there was a man, a pastor, or the bishop, or the man of God. So look at his children and grandchildren. They are blessed. But if you start doing wrong thing, then that blessing cuts off right there. Okay, so he says, you are a loving God and you are a good God, but at the same time he says, you are going to punish the people who hate. Read the verse 7 also. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain.
So, if you try to deceive God, oh, I pray, I go to church, I read the Bible, and God will bless me. You cannot talk about God in vain. You do it from your heart. You can deceive people, but you cannot deceive God. God knows your heart. You can say, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and come here, kick the wife at home, and come here, say, praise the Lord. You say, oh, everybody says, he's a very holy man. But God says, hey, you're taking my name in vain. You don't know how to worship the Lord. If you love the Lord, God knows. God knows your heart, and he knows your desire. He knows how you pray. He knows how you deceive people. God knows everything. We cannot hide from God. So let's go back to our chapter. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 6.
Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned.
Now, this man is asking God, oh God, let your ears and your eyes be open. Does our God sleeps? No. Does our God slumbers? No. But what happened when you praying and asking God something and God is not listening, you feel in your spirit maybe God is sleeping or what? Or maybe God is, not listening my prayer. He says, open your eyes, God, and look at me. So, when you look at me, you will listen. Do you know when you are in the class and you are not looking here and there, what teacher said? Look at me. Pay attention. Look at me means when you look at the person, then you know what he's talking about. If you don't pay attention, then you would not listen. So, he is saying, God, you look at me. I'm praying here. I'm fasting here. God knows. But this is just like a childish way he's praying. We were singing one song this morning. Open my eyes, O Lord, and open my ears, O Lord. That's the way to pray. But instead of that, he's saying, open your eyes, God, and open your ears, Lord, and listen to me. Pay attention. I'm praying. The one way is a foolish prayer, but God knows he's desperate. God knows he's brokenhearted. So once you are mad or even if you're sad, sometimes words comes off your mouth and you don't know why you say that. And then you regret, oh, I'm sorry, I was angry and I said something. This is what happened to people. But he's saying, Lord, open your eyes, open your ears. Pay attention to me. Look at me while I'm praying. And he's saying, I know. You are not looking at us because the word of God says God hates sin. Do you remember when Jesus Christ was on the cross? What happened? The word of God says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he laid our sins on his son. And he says he didn't know the sin, but he made him sin. So what happened? When Jesus became a sin, he turned his eyes away. And then Jesus Christ felt it. He said, you know, that is so much painful for me because my father forsaken me. And so he was crying and weeping Jesus said, Lord, all these people fought with me. All these people crucified me. All this pain I can bear. But I cannot bear the pain that my Father forsakes me and turns his face around. That's the way this man is thinking. God is not looking at me because of my sin. So he said, I'm going to confess my sins. I'm going to confess my father's sin. I'm going to confess my country's sin. I'm going to confess everybody's sin. And I'm thinking, Lord, I am a sinner. I take all the people's sin on me. And that's why I'm crying. And I know when you see the sin, you're not going to look at us. You're going to turn your face. But now I'm repenting. I'm asking you to forgive me. So please turn to me, Lord. Listen to my prayer. And that's what he's asking. If you read 2 Chronicles chapter 6, it's a long, long prayer. Solomon stood and prayed. Now, that prayer is a long prayer. But in his prayer, he said, you know, if somebody looking at this temple and pray, you listen to them. And if they did something wrong, and you might punish them. But when they pray or come to this temple or look at this temple, you listen to that. And so keep your ears and eyes open to your people. Read that 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 40. It's a big prayer, but I'm giving only one word. One verse.
Now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place.
Now, this is what Nehemiah got it. Solomon was a great king. If he prayed that way, I'm going to pray the same way. Do you know there are prayer books, and the people write so many books and things like that. So the people, you know, listen to somebody and practice what they preach, what they say. Yeah. Repeat somebody's prayer or practice what they say. So he is saying Solomon has a lot of wisdom. He was a godly man at that particular time, and he prayed to God, open your ear, O Lord, and open your eyes, O Lord, when my people pray towards this temple or in this temple, you listen. So he's reminding God, you listen to the Solomon's prayer, you blessed him. The same God can bless us. I'm praying, Lord. Okay, go back to the Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 7.
We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandedst thy servant Moses.
Now he says, we have dealt very corruptly against you. He knows our nation is corrupted. We did everything breaking your law. You gave the law to Moses, but we did not keep the law. We broke the law. And so he is very sorry that all these children of Israel breaking law. Now some people might think, you study the history of Jewish nation. They repeatedly commit the same sin again and again and again. And they get into trouble, they get into problem. If you read the Solomon's prayer, if you read the David's prayer, they said, oh Lord, when these people do not obey you, and you will scatter them, and then they will pray and they will repent. Please listen to their prayer. And so these people thought, hey, we do something wrong, and just pray, and everything will be all right. And somebody says, oh, you should not be drinking. Just drink and then ask God forgiveness. Oh, I cannot sleep with you. Oh, don't you think your Bible says if you repent, God will forgive? Okay, then I'll sleep with tonight and I'll repent. If this is the way you do, then God knows. You're doing purposely. If you're doing by mistake, you repent. But you start repeatedly, oh Lord, I have financial need. I ask everybody, nobody's giving. I'm going to go and rob the bank. My children are hungry. You will understand, Lord. Otherwise, you didn't give me money. So maybe you kept my money in the bank. I'm going to rob the bank. And God will not do anything. This is what the people do crime. They killed somebody. He said, what happened? God told me. Do you hear any time? God told me to kill that person. So this is how the people, they're blaming God for their sin. God is a righteous God. God will never tell you to do wrong. And the nominal Christian, they learn God is good, God is merciful, God is not going to zap us and this and that, and it's unconditional love we have. So that's why people commit so many sins. What the word of God says, repent. Do you know what repent means? Turn around. Where are you going? You're going astray from God. Now you turn around and come to God. When you come to God, you become godly. You become like Christ. Then you cannot commit the sin you did it yesterday. That's what the change of heart is. Born again means you were born to go to hell. Now you are born again to go to heaven. So you are transformed. You are a new person. You cannot do the same thing what you used to do before. Then there is no change. Born again means change of heart, change of life. So our life should be transformed. If your neighbor and somebody says, what is the difference between you and me? You wear the dress the same way I wear. You eat the food same way I eat. You talk the same way I talk. And you do everything the way I do. Only difference, you go to church and I don't. What is the difference? If you go into church, then you have to be transformed. You go to church to learn from Jesus. And you have to say, what Jesus would do in this situation? And think, I can do anything for you. If you do like that to a man or girl, why you have to get married? Can you tell me? If you do everything before marriage, whatever you're doing, why the girl has to marry you? There was a lady came to our church. She said, I was craving for this man for 25 years. I wanted to get married. And I got married 6 months ago, and I want divorce now. I said, ma'am, 25 years you're craving for this man, and 6 months you want divorce. That's why some people don't get married. They said, why have to get married? Because in our government, it's called marriage penalty. Can you imagine? When you get married, you have penalty. But we have freedom. People don't get married. Some people say, oh, if I get married, you have the children. And do you know how expensive it is having children? But you can keep 5 dogs and 3 cats. It's difficult to have keep children, but you can have cats and dogs and clean them, wash them, take them for walk. But a child, if you keep, when you get old, maybe child maybe serve you or maybe respect you. But the dogs or cats, every 10 years, 20 years, they die. And you cry, oh, my cat died, oh, my dog died. Why don't you adopt somebody's child? Take care of them. They will take care of you. God loves you when you love him. God hates you when you hate him. And that's what the hell is all about. Hell is not for the children of God. Hell is created for devil and his followers. And somebody said, how can the loving God send people to hell? I said, God is not sending. You are going. We are stopping you not to go. We are telling you not to go to hell. But you decided to go to hell and you're blaming God. Because God prepared the hell, that's why you're going to go to hell. Hell is prepared for the devil and his followers. Hell is not for me. That's why I said, I'm not afraid of police or anybody. If I'm driving my car and police siren comes, I don't have to be afraid. People are afraid. Police come, take a turn. Take another turn. Even though we are not in fault, you never know. They are afraid. But the word of God says, love of God casteth out what? Fear. If you love the Lord, you are not afraid of anything. Our God is a good God and he takes care of you. But here it says, if we disobey the Mosaic law and disobey what the judgment of God and justice of God and statutes of God and the commandment of God, that's what all this problem came. Verse 8.
Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandedst thy servant Moses, saying, if he transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations.
Now he's saying, remember, Lord. God didn't forget. But he said, remember, Lord, I beseech you. Again, I beg you, Lord, remember what you said. That's why when you pray, you talk to God and say, Lord, this is what you said. I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's what you said. I am sick. Don't you think that you said I'm a healer? He said, my God will supply all your need. Don't you think your word says, then why I don't have a job? Why I have a financial problem? He says, remind God. Get to the word of God and say, this is what your word says. And I want you to do according to your word. Then God knows, hey, you're reading. You're studying the word. When you read the word, quote the word, talk. God says, let us reason together. What does it mean? You have some problem? Come to me. Why do you go to the empty tank where there is no water? Why do you go to the lawyer who can mess you up? Why you go to the counselor who can break your marriage? Then a counselor looks at the beautiful girl. He said, hey, give up that man. I marry you. So they will go for the counseling. They get wrong counsel. Go to God. When you have a problem, go to Jesus. He knows your problem. He can come to you. He said, Lord, I beseech you. I beg you. You remember your word, what you said. Now you scatter them. You can bring them back. Go to the book of Leviticus chapter 26, verse 33. When you have time, go home and read the 26th chapter, Leviticus whole chapter. And read the Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 14 and onwards. When you read these chapters, the word of God says, when you disobey, what will happen to you? When you disobey, terrible, terrible things happen to the man of God. And it's recorded in the word of God. Okay, please read.
And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste.
Now, this is what's going to happen, he said, Lord, you said it. Now, the land is ruined. Our walls are broken. Our gates are burned down. Exactly what you said. It's happened. But at the same time, you said, if you pray, I will turn it around. Now, all my people are there. You already talked to Cyrus. You already talked to Darius. You already talked to Artaxerxes. And all these people had a favor and said, go to your country. But stubborn people stayed in the countries. Do you know most of the people came from Russia? Russia was not allowing them to go. People came from Russia, Germany, Ethiopia. The people were not leaving them. Then time of Bush, he intervened and those people came. Now all the people, majority is coming from all over the world. But if you go anywhere in the world, there are Jewish people everywhere. Do you think all the Jewish people came to the land? No. They are business people. There are people in Egypt right now, Israeli people. There are people in Iraq, Israeli people. There are people in every places they are there. And God says, get out of those places. I'm going to destroy those people's land. Still people are not listening. And then the time will come, so many Jewish people will be killed with the enemy. I just made a program other day. I said, God do not want his church to suffer with the unsaved people. Means the church will not go through tribulation. And I gave the Bible scriptures. So the point I'm making, God doesn't want you to suffer. Then he's not a loving God. He said, if I love you, I will take care of you. If I hate you, then I'll punish you. I'll scatter you. An enemy will come and ruin you. But if you love me, I will love you. I will protect you. Our God is a good God. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 9.
But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there.
He is saying, Lord, this is what you said. Now you do what you said. And that's what you have to remind to God. Your prayer is not answered, find the scripture. Whatever you need, it's in the word of God. You talk to God like you're talking to friend. There was a man called Sadhu Sundar Singh. He will keep the chair and he will sit. And he will pretend that God is there. And he will talk to God. And he will get answer from him. So he learned, talk to God. You can do that too. God will talk to you. Some people say, God doesn't talk with me. He does. He will talk to you through the word of God. He will talk to you from pastor, or he'll talk to you with a dream or vision. God talks. But you have to be open-minded. You have to have a desire to listen. Then he will talk to you. If you are busy talking to friends 24 hours or talking to somebody and your mind is very bombarded, God cannot talk to you. Put a chair sometime in front of your chair and sit there and talk to God. What your problems are, just like Nehemiah is talking. I guarantee you, God will speak to you and your problem will be over. Verse 10.
Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand.
Now he says, you have redeemed thy people with the great power and the strong hand. This is what he's talking about Egypt. When God bought those people out of Egypt, he said, I bought them with my strong hand. And he's reminding him, how you did Egypt. How our people were suffering there for 400 years. And you bought them. You redeemed them because he said, okay, take the lamb and spread the blood on the doorpost up on both sides. And then I will visit. I will pass by. See the sign of the blood. And if there is no blood sign, that person, no matter he is Jewish or Egyptian, will be killed. But the other people will be redeemed. And they were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And here he says, then you bought us with your powerful and strong hand. Not one Egyptian soldier or one Egyptian army was able to stop them. They went far away. Then they said, well, let's go and catch them. Because they are in a jungle now. There is a sea in the front. There is a mountains around. We got them. We are going to destroy them. What happened? The word of God says they went through the sea. And when the enemy came in the middle of the sea, God drowned them and they died. So God knows what he's doing. We have to trust in God. Your enemy, you are afraid and running from your enemy. Go to God. I told you one day one person called me. He said, Pastor Peter, somebody is coming to my house to kill me with a gun. And he gave me warning. I'm going to kill you tomorrow. I'm coming to your house. I said, you should be calling police. But he said, I want you to pray. I went to his house. I gave him the message. And I told him, listen, what the word of God says. Enemy will come one way. They will run seven way. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 7. And he says, book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 6, he says, I should boldly say, what man can do unto me? God is my helper. No man has power to do any harm to me. And I gave him several verses. And then he called me the other day. And he said, you know what? The man who wanted to kill me, he didn't come and he didn't kill me. But when I went to work, he was fired and I got his job. That's what God does. I told him not to be afraid. And I told him he might lose his job and you might get his job. Exactly happened. So the word of God is saying, our God is a mighty God. Our God is a scary God. Our God is a loving God. Our God is awesome God. He comes to rescue you in a due time. And he can destroy your enemy. You don't have to worry about your enemy. You don't have to heart palpitation. Oh my God, what's going to happen? Don't worry. God is in control. I'm not afraid of anybody. Jesus Christ told me, he said, if somebody kills your body, they have no power to kill your soul and spirit. But the God has power to kill body, soul, spirit into hell. So who should you be afraid of? Who should be your afraid? God. Reverend God. Fear God. Not enemy. Enemy has no power. So we have to tell people, love God, follow God, and you are protected. God will protect you. You don't have to live in fear and anxiety. Okay, verse 11, last word.
O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer.
Now he says, again, in this chapter we saw at least three times, I beg you, Lord. I beseech you, Lord. You are going to listen to my prayer. Listen to my prayer, Lord, and I have request. Because I am praying, and I know that other people are praying with me. And so what you're going to do, you are going to do mercy and grace, and you are going to show me kindness, because I'm your servant. And you put something in this man. The king he's talking about, who he? I'm not afraid of king, he's just the ordinary man. But I'm talking to God. God is going to change the hearts of the king. And so you don't have to worry. People are worried about, I said to people, pray. Pray for our government. Pray for our king. Pray for our president. Pray for our leaders. And pray God can change anything. Don't be afraid, because he said, Lord, I'm praying. You can change this man, because I am the king's cupbearer. He said, I was a very great man. But I cannot convince the king. You do. And God will do it. And we'll see in a later chapter. God did change the heart of the king. So what do? Pray. From today onwards, pray a little bit more and read the Bible. You'll never be the same. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. We hear the rumors of war, disaster, fire, rain, war, people killing people. We just love you. We just respect you. On this earth, our days are counted. We cannot extend our life by doctor or by medicine. Only God knows our days. So Lord, we love you and we want to follow you. There are people dying without God and without Christ. It is our duty to tell them, warn them, beg them, bring them to Christ. Give us grace to do it. Lord Jesus, I pray for each and everyone who is sitting and standing in this hall. Bless them, bless their children, their grandchildren, their husbands, their wives, their brothers, their sister, their neighbor, their friend, their enemy. Bless each and everyone. And let us grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. Jesus Christ is coming very soon. Prepare us, O Lord, and prepare others for your soon coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.